welcome to another edition of Money Matters. My name is Mark Cuniberti. Thanks for joining me today. Carried on, we think about 67 stations nationwide. Money Matters, originating in KVMR FM in Nevada City, California, and spread everywhere across the nation. So before we begin, today's show is number 349, entitled Inflation and the Federal Reserve. We'll talk about quantitative easing. We'll talk about inflation and the latest figures out from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. But first, we have to remind you that discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. And the opinions expressed are opinions only and may not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, or underwriters, and is not meant as investment advice. Of course, Money Matters is about money, as money does matter, and matters money affect us all in some way or another. Whether you have a lot of money, a little bit of money, or no money at all, it controls our economy, our country, our planet, and in some way or another controls the very way we live our lives. It's about your money, your lack of it, or abundance of it, your lives and livelihood. In short, Money Matters is about you. It's called the Economic Forum of Alternative Radio, for sure. My name is Mark Cuniberti. I graduated with economics in 1979 with honors, and am a financial advisor and insurance agent with multiple licenses, for sure. I hold California insurance license OL34249, and I've been in the markets pretty much since age 14. Yep, bought my first stock, Phillips 66, because I thought it had a cool logo. At about 14, my dad bought it for me, so there you go. So that's been, what, 52 years? Yikes. Anyway, so we're going to talk about inflation today, show 349 for sure, inflation. And, you know, you all know what inflation is, or at least you know the symptom of it. John Maynard Keynes says inflation is always and only a monetary event. It can only be brought about by the increase in the money supply. So the government measures many versions of inflation. You'd think they would just measure one, but they don't. They measure multiple versions of it. Some argue that different versions exist so that the administration of the day can then dig up whatever version propagates the desired political spin at the time. In other words, the versions of inflation, which are so many different styles and types, they all have different adjustments. And what I said is that they can basically pick whichever version they want to, either tone down inflation or say that inflation doesn't exist in a certain area of the economy. And I'm not picking on the current administration, mind you, as all the administrations have done it. Starting back in the 60s, I think President Johnson was the first one that started to monkey with the inflation figures. But seemingly a new version is dug up or made up every week to better fit the problems of the day. So the different types of inflation that they measure consist of various looks and adjustments. There are a lot of adjustments, and they make adjustments every year, every time they put it out, and then they change the standard inflation metric just about every year to kind of tone it down so you don't really see how bad the inflation is. The different types of inflation I have covered many times on Money Matters, both in print and on the air. And the latest statistics on inflation has made me a little bit more concerned, and it's called the Producer Price Index, known as the PPI. Now, what you normally see on the news is the CPI, the Consumer Price Index. That is meant to measure changes in price on a variety of goods as it pertains to you and I, the consumer. The PPI, the Producer Price Index, takes a look at prices further up the food chain, so to speak, which are the price changes experienced by those entities that produce the stuff that we use. As such, inflationary increases up the food chain at the producer price levels not only tells us what prices are increasing and at what rate, but they tell us what prices will do as the future as the things that these producers make work their way down the food chain. Since an increase in producer prices will have to be passed on to us, the consumer, in the form of higher prices when what they make hit our store shelves, a persistent high and severe producer price index means that things are getting worse and that they will continue to be worse. So just so happens that starting last year, the latest figures that we see, which are measuring year over year, March 2022, since March of 2021, every month, the producer price index has gotten worse. So it's climbing. And last month, the most recent statistic we have is the worst that we've seen. In fact, it's the worst on record. Now, the PPI has been measured many years. But as far as we can tell, if we go back 250 years or more to the beginning of this nation, records are spotty back then, and they had different metrics for measuring inflation. But the farther back we go, the more spotty the records go, but it looks like this 11.25% that the PPI came in at for this most recent month was the worst on record. 11.25%. Think of that. That means that that's an annual figure, annualized out, based on the month of March 2022, and that means that whatever money you have in the bank could be losing 11.25% every year. Think of that, huh? Producer price indexes, like I mentioned, was started accelerating about a year ago, and they're getting worse every month. The causes for this are many, but they are not really limited to the egregious money giveaway by central banks everywhere to address the COVID shutdowns, right? We know that the government has been printing massive amounts of funds to address COVID and all the shutdowns that they enacted, et cetera, et cetera. But there are other things that are making prices rise, many things. A reduction in oil drilling caused by pressure from environmentalists. They're causing oil companies to cut back on their drilling and fracking and just the obtaining of oil. The war in Ukraine, obviously, is cutting supply lines down, and they are a big supplier of energy and food for Europe. So that is causing supplies to dwindle, which causes prices to go up, which is, as you know, inflation. There's a shortage of available workers. Some say that that is caused by the generous freebies from the various central banks of the world, the various governments of the world giving free money out to people for staying at home, for COVID, for whatever reason it is. They're saying the shortage of people, they don't want to go back to work because they get free money. And all of these things affect supply chains and commodity costs. There's probably more, but these are the main ones. Now, the egregious money printing we call monetary inflation, and that is what John Maynard Keynes says. I believe I have that economist correct. I know his name, but I'm pretty sure he said that. Somebody did, but I should know that. But in any case, inflation is always and everywhere a monetary event caused by money creation. The monetary inflation, government deficit spending, is the most potent contributor to rising prices. And with even more spending proposals working their way through Washington as we speak, I am once again, for the umpteenth time, warning inflation is going to get worse. And I will say it's going to get worse than I thought it was going to get worse last month and the month before and the month before, all guided to me by the PPI. Telling me that it's getting worse and it's up at the producer price level, producer price index level at the producer's level, and it's going to work its way down to us later. So it's coming. No doubt the American consumer, you are about ready to get a dose of inflation unparalleled in modern history if the readings are correct, and we think they are. And the Feds, known here as the U.S. Federal Reserve, known worldwide as central banks, they are going to have to take some pretty drastic steps to try and extinguish the price inflationary fires that we are seeing. Since these fires of inflation are already lit, and the inflationary inferno that I and many other analysts like me have been warning about is about to explode. And unfortunately for us, those that are given the job to address it, the Federal Reserve, as usual, are already well behind the eight ball. Since their track record, the Federal Reserve, and indeed central banks worldwide, has and continues to be woefully lacking in foresight. By the time they realize what is coming and how severe inflation will be, it will be a full-fledged inflationary conflagration, a wildfire of prices rising with dire circumstances for money and our economy, for our money currency, for our markets, for our economy. It's going to be pretty bad, folks, and it's going to get a lot worse. Now, how do they accomplish monetary inflation? How do they print money? Well, one of the ways they do it is through something called quantitative easing. I had a recording of what quantitative easing is years ago, and I'm going to play it for you now because the Feds are going to slow down their quantitative easing for the first time in a very, very long time, and they plan to bring it to a halt. But when you hear the word QE or quantitative easing, that is a main conduit of how the Feds create money from nothing. So I'm going to play this recording now, and I hope you enjoy it. You're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station.
Did you hear about the Fed?
No. What about the Fed?
They announced another round of the quantitative easing.
What does that mean?
It means they are going to make large asset purchases via PAMO.
What does that mean?
It means they are going to expand their balance sheet and buy treasuries.
What does that mean?
It means they are going to print a ton of money.
So why do they call it the quantitative easing? Why don't they just call it the printing money?
Because the printing money is the last refuge of failed economic empires and banana republics, and the Fed doesn't want to admit this is their only idea.
So why do they want to print the money?
Because they say we have the deflation, and the deflation is very bad.
What is the deflation?
The deflation is when prices of the things we buy go down.
Isn't that good? Doesn't it mean the people can buy more of the stuff?
Yes, but the Fed said this is bad, especially during the recession.
So they think that during the recession, when the people have less money to buy the stuff, it is bad that the prices go down?
Yes, the Fed would rather have the inflation.
So why does the Fed think we have the deflation?
Because the CPI said so.
But aren't the food prices higher than a year ago?
Yes.
Aren't the gas prices higher than a year ago?
Yes.
Aren't the healthcare costs higher than a year ago?
Yes.
Aren't tuition prices higher than a year ago?
Yes.
Aren't the taxes higher than a year ago?
Yes.
Aren't the subway fares higher than a year ago?
Yes.
Aren't the stock prices higher than a year ago?
Yes.
Aren't the bond prices higher than a year ago?
Yes.
So what is deflating right now?
The only thing deflating that I can see is the Fed's credibility.
Did they have a lot of credibility to start with?
No.
Why not?
Because the Fed has been wrong about every major economic development in the past 20 years.
You mean they didn't see the internet stock bubble?
No. In fact, they helped fuel the internet stock bubble.
And they didn't see the housing bubble?
No, in fact, they helped cause the housing bubble.
And they didn't see the subprime crisis?
No, in fact, they told us subprime problems were contained right before the hit the fan and the Lehman went bankrupt.
So has the Fed ever been right about anything?
Let me see if I can think of anything. Nope, nothing.
Who runs the Fed?
The Fed is run by the Ben Bernanke.
Does the Ben Bernanke have a lot of business experience?
No, the Ben Bernanke has no business experience.
Does the Ben Bernanke have a lot of policy experience?
No, the Ben Bernanke has no policy experience.
Has the Ben Bernanke ever run in an election?
No, the Ben Bernanke has never run in an election.
So what qualifies him to run the Fed?
I don't know, maybe the fact that he has a nice beard.
But my plumber also has a nice beard, and I would not trust him to play God with the economy.
No, although when you call the plumber to fix something that is broken, they usually fix it, not break it more.
This is true, the plumber is clearly smarter than the Ben Bernanke.
Well, that is why he became a plumber, and not an economist.
How does the Fed execute the quantitative easing?
They print the money, and then they buy the treasury bonds.
Do they buy the treasury bonds from the Treasury Department?
No, they buy the treasury bonds from the Goldman Sachs.
You must be shitting me.
No.
So let me get this straight. If I want to buy the treasury bonds with my money, I can buy them directly from the treasury.
Yes.
And if you want to buy the treasury bonds with your money, you can buy them from the treasury.
Right.
But if the Ben Bernanke wants to buy the treasury bonds using the American people's money, he does not buy them from the treasury, he buys them from the Goldman Sachs?
Exactly.
And does the Goldman Sachs give them a good price?
Of course not, they are the Goldman Sachs, they make their living ripping off the American people.
But how is the Goldman Sachs able to do this?
The Fed announces what it is going to buy, and when it is going to buy, before it does the trade.
So the Goldman Sachs can front-run the Fed, and give them the worst possible price on the treasury bonds?
Yes, exactly.
And the Fed is okay with this blatant theft from the American people?
Of course, otherwise, the Fed would just buy the treasury bonds directly from the Treasury Department.
Who inside the Fed is responsible for the buying of the treasury bonds?
The buying of the treasury bonds is conducted by the New York branch of the Federal Reserve.
And who is in charge of the New York branch?
The head of the New York branch is the William Dudley.
And what did the William Dudley do before running the New York Fed?
Before running the New York Fed, the William Dudley was a partner at the Goldman Sachs.
So the guy in charge of the American people's money when dealing with the Goldman Sachs used to be a partner at the Goldman Sachs?
Yes.
And nobody has a problem with this?
Apparently not.
Is this an episode of The Twilight Zone?
I don't think so.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure.
So what you are telling me is that the Fed thinks prices are going down, when in fact they are going up?
Yep.
And they think during the recession, with the high unemployment, it is better if the things people need to buy cost more money.
Correct. According to the Ben Bernanke, the inflation will create the jobs and improve the housing market.
Has this ever been tried before?
Yes, just last year the Fed tried the quantitative easing with $2 trillion.
Did that create the jobs?
No.
Did it help the housing market?
Not at all.
Did it help anybody at all?
Yes, it helped the Goldman Sachs.
How much of the money are they printing now?
$600 billion.
So even though the first $2 trillion did not create the jobs or improve the housing market, the Fed decided to do another $600 billion anyway?
Yes.
Who put the Ben Bernanke in charge?
The Ben Bernanke was first appointed by the President Bush, then he was reappointed by the President Obama.
But wasn't the President Obama supposed to bring the change?
Yes.
How is putting in charge the same fool, who has been wrong about everything, the change?
Well, under the President Bush, the Ben Bernanke only blew up the American economy. Under the President Obama, he is working on blowing up the entire global economy.
That does not sound like the change we can believe in.
Definitely not.
Who else supports the Ben Bernanke?
Most economists around the world think the quantitative easing is very dangerous.
Does anyone think it is a good idea?
Yes, the people at the Goldman Sachs.
Is this some kind of nightmare?
No, it is very real.
I want to bang my head against the wall.
You should not do that.
Why not?
Because the healthcare is too expensive.
Quantitative easing explained by little cartoon characters on, I think I got that on YouTube. Anyway, the views and opinions expressed there are those of the author and do not necessarily reflect the opinion of myself or any radio station or news media that you might hear this on. So no inference or recommendation or unrecommendation is made by any company referenced in that YouTube little recording there. Any case, so the jury is still out on quantitative easing. Most people still believe it's necessary, which I think is kind of interesting, given its track record of causing inflation. But see, most people don't make a correlation that quantitative easing causes inflation. But quantitative easing is a creation of money, and the creation of money is always and ever The cause of monetary inflation, and monetary inflation is the most potent kind. And obviously, you have witnessed in the last couple of years, we have created more money than ever created in the history of man, in the fastest amount of time in the history of man, and now we are seeing dreaded inflation. Now, if you think that it's just because of the war, and because a few people won't go back to work, or because the environmentalists have put pressure on drilling companies to drill less, I've got a bridge to sell you, because those things would cause a rise in prices, but nowhere near like the 11.25% that I just mentioned in the earlier part of the show that we've seen the producer price index skyrocket at. So does QE work? Well, it works in creating money. That it does. It sure creates a lot of it, right? But what it does is it causes inflation. If it goes out in the system, if the money goes out in the system, it causes inflation. Now, somebody said, well, in 08 and 09, we had a lot of quantitative easing. That's true. About $5 trillion worth. And we didn't see a lot of inflation. That's because most of that money went back to the banking system. This time around, it went to you and I in the form of payments and paycheck protection program and the care package and unemployment bonuses, you name it. So this time it went out in the system, infrastructure spending and the rest, and now we're seeing the result of all that. That is an opinion. Some people might argue that the money created is not really causing this inflation, but most who at least know what they're talking about, in my opinion, would definitely agree that amount of money creation is going to cause inflation. A lot of people have been warning it was going to cause inflation, and now it is causing inflation, and now they're going to have to stop cutting back on quantitative easing, on money creation to address inflation. So that pretty much tells me that the Federal Reserve knows that all their money creation caused all this inflation, and that's why they're stopping it, right? If it didn't cause inflation, then they wouldn't stop it. But they are going to. Whether it'll crash the markets or not, that's another story. So here we sit, 3 years after COVID started, and we have record levels of QE by world governments everywhere, and the markets are feeling the effects of the threat by the Federal Reserve to raise interest rates, and they usually raise them by a quarter of a percent, which is anemic. It doesn't do anything, but right now, if we're seeing 11% inflation rate, they'd have to raise the interest rates to 11% to stop it. At least 11%, and that's not going to happen. So trillions of dollars have been conjured up by the Federal Reserve and the central banks in the last 3 years. And so now they're in crisis mode. I mean, the Federal Reserve head, Jerome Powell, said that inflation was transitory last year. Transitory. Inflation will go down. Didn't we say it wasn't going to go down? It's not transitory. Told you it would stick, and I'm not the only analyst that said that. Many analysts said, no, it's not transitory. It's going to stick, and it did stick. So here we are. It's not transitory, Mr. Jerome Powell, Federal Reserve. It's here, and now you're going to have to raise interest rates by a lot to try and stop it. Remember, we've been doing quantitative easing for a long, long time. And so now, for the first time in a long, long time, they're going to cut it back to hopefully zero. That's what they're saying. I doubt they'll get there. I think what'll happen is the markets will start to squeal and they'll have to back off. They're going to start to raise interest rates, and that's definitely going to slow the markets and the economy. But it comes to push comes to shove, I think they're going to not throw the economy in recession, because I don't think they want to do that. And if it starts to go backwards too fast, they're going to ease off. And they're going to either not cut back on quantitative easing as much or even start it back up again, because they listen to the markets, ladies and gentlemen. That's what they do, is they are behooving to the markets. So we're going to see what's going to happen. You know, my guess is, and I've always said, the war in Ukraine is a non-event for the markets. I know they made a lot of noise, and they made a lot of ruckus that the war was causing things in the market. But I always said that it wasn't the war, because it's still going on and the markets are now rising again. So if it was the war causing the markets to back off, well, how come they're not backing off anymore? Not to say we're out of the woods yet. We are not. But it's inflation. and what the Feds are going to do about it. Now, I will tell you historically, in an increase in rates, in interest rates, multiple times by the Federal Reserve, has had a tendency to smash markets. Okay, Greenspan did it after the dot-com got out of hand. He raised rates and crashed the NASDAQ market. And then when the NASDAQ market crashed, they lowered rates again to recover that. And then when it started to take off, housing started to take off in the mid-2000s, they raised rates again and crashed the market again in 08 and 09. And now the market's taken off from then, from 08 and 09, and now it's getting out of hand, and now they're going to raise rates again. So will it crash the markets again? Don't know. But it could put a lot of pressure on things. So just be very, very careful out there. Once the interest rates are behind us, since interest rates are good for the economy because it's supposed to rein in inflation, the markets have had historical precedent that would say that the markets respond favorably after the rate increases have been accomplished. And then the market responds favorably. So it's not to say that when they raise rates, the markets, all hell's going to go loose in the markets forever. No. But the markets have had a historical precedent to say that once, the interest rate increases are behind us, we could see a positive stock market. Okay, that does it for today's Money Matters. You've been listening to show 349, Inflation and the Fed. And remember that discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. And the opinions expressed herein are my opinions only and may not necessarily reflect those of the station, staff, management, or underwriters. I hold California Insurance License OL34249. I'm a Medicare agent approved in the state of California. And our website is moneymanagementradio.com. where everything is free, our way of saying thank you for listening to your community radio station. And you can email me there too as well, moneymanagementradio.com. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. Get back.